why I'm saying it. I'm going to make this offer. I am willing to pray for anybody here to lay my hands on you, that you would be helped to just go further in the Holy Spirit. Okay? On the one hand, it is not necessary for you to have me pray for you. Please do not think that there's something special about me praying for you. Because at the end of the day, these are the things that the Holy Spirit himself does. Jesus made it possible for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then to be repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit with a view to you living a life that is just this wonderful adventure with Holy Spirit. Whatever's going on, he's there with you and he is opening your eyes to see more. Okay, so please don't misunderstand. I'm not special in that regard. There's not something significant about my life. I'm just so much better than you that I just want some of me to rub off on you, sort of thing. It is not that at all. These are the things that you personally are entitled to because of what Jesus did for you. Okay, that is at the grounds of all of this. Jesus made it very simple. How much more would he not give you the Holy Spirit? If you know, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father not give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Okay, so it's as simple as an asking. With that said, one of the patterns in Scripture is that God uses people to help us. And so in many places, not universally, but in many places, somebody would come and lay hands on the believers. And as a result of that, Holy Spirit was given access to that person that allowed them to go. So that's the offer that I'm making both today, but also every single day. And next week, I think I'll be even more deliberate just to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But in case, because of the time, we don't get to that point, if you have a stirring in your heart that you want more of the Holy Spirit working in you, operating through you, okay, I am not going to give you the Holy Spirit, obviously. That's not my job. That's Jesus' job. He did that. But we play a part in each of us being taken further, right? Surely there was nobody who was more well-versed in the grace of God and what it meant to move with the Holy Spirit than Paul, right? And yet Paul says, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Why? If there's anybody who's got it made, who's got it figured out, surely it was Paul. That isn't the point. The church has been designed to work as a unit, individual parts. Regardless of what particular part may describe you, the whole body functions together. So again, I am willing to play my part. I am asking you to pray for me as well. And so I put that offer out there even before we start talking about these things. Okay? Because I do not want the things of the Holy Spirit to remain doctrinal or theoretical for us. Okay? Now, I personally have a weakness in that I love to understand the whys of things. And I can be tempted to say that the why is enough, okay? The why by itself is not enough. There is the actual acting on what God has and wants that is necessary, okay? So we're continuing to talk about how to be filled with the Spirit. This will be part two. This was 2 weeks ago that we started talking about this. I'll remind you what we read there. Number one, that if you have believed the message concerning Jesus, like at some point in time, you responded. Okay, how that response, it doesn't have to be you prayed this exact prayer, but you believed. And that belief was expressed by you doing something. Okay, and you said a prayer, you responded. And of course, that continues on from that initial. At the moment you believed, you were rejoined to God. Okay, the problem that mankind has had is that they are separated from God because of their sin. But Jesus swallowed up the entire problem, has completely dealt with it. Okay? Sin need no longer keep anybody from God apart from their choice to not take his rescue. Okay? I'm not saying that sin doesn't matter anymore. Obviously it does. But it need not keep you from God anymore because Jesus paid the price. And indeed, the only way sin is going to be thoroughly dealt with in your life beyond the price of it, okay? So there's the price of sin, but then there's the effect of sin, right? There's the price that sin requires that to be paid, Jesus paid it, but then there's still the hold that sin has in our life that needs to be worked out, that needs to be restored, that involves repentance, right? Nobody, under the sound of my voice, at the very least, should get the idea that now that I'm a Christian, sin doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter whether I continue to swear or I continue to be lustful or I continue to lie or I continue to cheat. Nobody should think that, well, but the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. Yes, it is. It gives you access. But God is interested in you having more than access. He wants that access to actually save you. And by save, I don't mean get born again, but rather the benefit of being saved applies to you. I'm thankful for Norman's reminder to us from 2 Peter about growing with respect to salvation. Let me try and paint a picture for you. Okay? This is going to be a really weak picture. Okay? But nevertheless, okay, I wasn't born in Canada. My parents came from India, and I am now a Canadian citizen because I was naturalized. Okay, meaning there's a rule that Canada has in place that if you spend enough time and you do these certain things, you can become a Canadian citizen. Okay, and I am a Canadian citizen. Being a Canadian citizen entitles you to certain things. Okay, you're not allowed to keep me out of Canada if I want to come back. Okay, if I'm out of the country, when I show up at the border, they have absolutely no right to keep me out. They have to let me back in. Okay? There are other privileges that go along with it. I have a Canadian passport, for example. And it's not the best and most accessible passport, but it's a pretty good one. Right? My wife's is even better in terms of how many countries you can get in without a visa. But the point is you have privileges. Okay? So now let's say I'm going to make an equivalence between you heard the gospel and you responded to it, and so now you are a citizen of heaven. Okay? Your home has changed. And as we've been encouraged, this is actually not our home. We're just here for a time. And then we get to go home. Okay? Vacation may not be the right word, because when I think of vacation, I think of all sorts of nice things. And it's not always nice down here. But we're here on assignment. Okay? And then we get to go home. So, as a citizen of heaven, that is always my right. But my citizenship actually entitles me to so much more than just the right to get back home. I am allowed to have home come and affect me here. I'm allowed to have home deliver me from the consequences of sins practiced. I don't need to continue in sin. Why? Because a grace has come that can set me free from it. Right? How does a person go from being the kind of person that needed saving to a person who is living a life that shows that God has gotten involved with them? Well, you have to let God get involved with you, right? My point here is to point the difference between being a citizen and enjoying all of the rights of a citizen. That's what growing with respect to salvation is about. Okay? You understand it's a weak picture. There's so much more to it. We were not made for anything less than this absolutely phenomenal, wonderful, add all the words you can think of, extraordinary privilege of walking with God. A life of growing in your fellowship and your delight over God and how He wants things, so much so that you're willing to change what you do so that He'd be happy. This is the privilege that we get to have. You know, you get the privilege of seeing somebody else lifted up from the clutches of sin and be restored to what God intended for them. You have the privilege, first of all, of course, of you yourself having that and each one of us growing in that, but also helping somebody. Your life was meant to be lived in fellowship with God. This is what Jesus has secured. That's what your citizenship entitles you to. But obviously, to enjoy the benefits, you've got to keep walking with Him. It's a great picture. Walk with God, right? Have you ever noticed that you can't walk standing still? The very picture of walk means you're moving. And to walk together means you're walking next to somebody. You know, if I go for a walk, and then my wife, because she was busy with something, comes half an hour after me, I'm not walking with her. We both went for a walk. True, we did not go for a walk together. But God calls you to a walk with Him. And everything necessary for someone like you to be able to walk with the Holy One has been done. Okay? That's why we started our service earlier on with, tell somebody that God likes you. He has no problem with you. All that is required of you is to just keep working. Just keep walking with Him. Keep responding to him. Okay? So the first thing that I wanted to say is, going back to it, if you have believed into Jesus, you are a temple of the living God. You are. Okay? And it's worth remembering, you are a temple of the living God, whether you're in a church service or you're going shopping. You are a temple of the living God, whether all of a sudden you have to pray for somebody and you see them raised from the dead, or you're trying to figure out how to pay your next bill. You are a temple of the living God. I don't mean to minimize the privilege of what it means to see somebody move affected by the power of God. Please don't misunderstand me. But my concern is that we tend to limit it to only those kinds of things and don't see that Holy Spirit has come for every aspect of my life. How to be a better dad? Holy Spirit's come along. How to be a better worker? Holy Spirit has come. How to be a better servant? Holy Spirit has come. How to be a better student of the things of life? Holy Spirit has come. Jesus said of him that he will lead me into all the truth. That word all is a pretty big word when it's connected to the truth. This is who he is. And you don't stop being a temple of the Holy Spirit when you're not in a charismatic service. Okay? By that I mean a service in which the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifesting, however that looks. That's not where we limit Holy Spirit to. We want him involved with every aspect of our lives. We don't stop being Holy Spirit's temple the day you believe in him. Okay? The second thing I said to you last week was we also are believers. Okay? I don't mean that you're always believing perfectly, but I want to remind you this is what our lives are about, believing God. Not impressing God, not getting, you know, proving God that he didn't waste his time with me by impressing him by getting my acts right. You do not have to impress God. We want to please him, but we can never impress him, right? Our works are not about getting into God's good books, to use a saying that we would use. Do you know what it means to be in somebody's good books, right? You know how Santa Claus has a list? He's making a list and he's checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. Well, I want to be on the nice list, so I got to make sure I do all these right things, and then I'll be on the nice list. It's too late for you. If you believed into Jesus, your name is in the good list, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's too late, and it's not with respect to whether or not you've been behaving like a Christian or not. The moment you believe, that's where you are. So the challenge for us is not to get in there, but rather to live as if we are there. Okay? So that means believing God is just the way it's going to be. Wherever you are with regards to what it means to believe God, this is your life. Grow with respect to believing him. Why? Because everything Holy Spirit does is by faith. This is why, you know, people who can be born again for 30 seconds can see somebody raised from the dead, and somebody who has walked with God for 35 years sees nothing. It has nothing to do with your experience or your the number of years you've put in. It has everything to do with, I believe. I simply believe. I simply believe. So this is the life for you and me. Okay? So I'd like to finish now by reading to you from Galatians chapter 3 again. And just give me a moment. Sorry, Anoop, that I didn't give you these ahead of time. I also want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3. Oh, I'm in Ephesians, that's why. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay? This is a pretty significant verse. Why did Jesus do what he did? Yes, it's true, he loved you. No question. Okay, that was the motivating factor, because he loved you. Okay, why did he do what you do? Why did he do what he did? Because if he didn't do it, you would perish in hell. Also true, completely true. Okay, if Jesus did not come, there's only one outcome for us. The righteous judge would do the righteous thing and put us in hell. We would perish. Absolutely true. But note what he says here. What he did, he became a curse in order that in Christ Jesus, you might receive the promise of the Spirit. In other words, there has been a long-lasting promise that now finally has been manifested, that you would be restored to the Spirit. Okay? I read this passage last time. I read it to you again to remind you. Holy Spirit is not an add-on. He has been the whole point. The whole point of Jesus' death and resurrection is so that you might receive the Spirit and walk with him. He is the normal thing. And I don't care whether you're charismatic or not charismatic. Again, those who believe in sort of a, I don't want to put it down, but at the same time, I don't want to necessarily overly glorify it. Experiences that go beyond what most Christians experience in terms of either sort of the joy or the gifts of the Spirit manifesting as a norm. We want that, by the way. But it is also true when that's not happening, right? The whole point of Jesus' dying on the cross, becoming a curse, was so that you could be restored to Holy Spirit. He really is the point. So please put aside from you any thought that that's for the charismatics or that's for the Pentecostals or it's for you. Whatever category you happen to be in, Holy Spirit has come for you, because this is what your life really is about. This is what your life really is about. Now let me take you to Luke chapter 4. In verse 17, this is Jesus. He has come to his hometown. He is in the synagogue. The scroll of the book, i.e. the Old Testament, has been given to him. He opens it up, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Sorry, not the law. It was the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book, the scroll really, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." I'll read it again. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Okay, and that entire chapter is well worth reading, because the people there weren't so impressed. Okay, and that had a consequence. But here Jesus takes prophecy of Scripture and says, "This has now been fulfilled in your hearing." Okay? I'm the one this is talking about. I am the one who has been anointed, but for what? He is upon me to proclaim good news, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Okay? Now, I've asked this question before, but I'll ask it again, and I don't mean to be cheeky about it. So why is he upon you? You who are temples of the Holy Spirit, you who are entitled to a walk by the Spirit, why is he upon you? Well, let me answer the question for you, since it's already 12. For the same reason. The way that that looks may be different, given our specific responsibilities and giftings. But at the end of the day, this is the assignment, why he has come. So there's two aspects to your life. On the one hand, you get to walk with God and discover what that means and the blessing of it. You get to be like in Psalm 27, one thing I have asked, that I may behold the Lord. I want to know Him. I'm going to seek this, that I may just behold Him. Why? Because there is nothing better than that. I know that, you know, we get so caught up in our troubles that we think that there's nothing better than these troubles being solved. But let me tell you, that is settling for the penny when you could have the billions. The encounter with the living God takes care of every issue. He really is more than enough. Okay, so we get that part, but we also have the other side of it. I'm used by God to help somebody else. Okay, and notice it's not simply to comfort somebody, although you know that there's an aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to comfort. You are called to declare something to people. This is the favorable year of the Lord. The times for punishment, the times for you just made your bed, you got a lie in it, are over. For the time being, there's a pause. You can come to the Lord now. Okay? We proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. But we also, in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, we release people. Bondages can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not limited to famous preachers. In fact, I will contend that the far vast majority of people being delivered doesn't happen at big services. It happens anonymously almost. Nobody knows about it except God and the Holy Spirit. You know, at least in my case, I have heard, and it's been confirmed many times, that the church is growing the fastest in places like Iran, okay, where there's so much persecution, but at the same time, there are so many spectacular miracles being worked. Do you hear about that? Who did it? Did somebody famous go and do it? No, it was just people believing this is what God has done and made available, and they're taking their place. Well, that applies to us. That applies to us, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who has come to release people, but He wants you to cooperate with Him. And that is both terrifying and amazing. Terrifying because then means I got to step out. But amazing because this is what God is like, and I get to have a part in it. Okay? So, I'm going to end now. Again, my offer stands, but next week will be more deliberate, and I'll actually ask people to come forward, but if you can't wait, as it were, I'm happy to pray for you now. Why? Again, it's not because I'm some special, but I have a place. I have a part to play in the working out of the things of God in your life, particularly if you're part of our church, but even otherwise. And when I say that, I also want you to have that thought. You're with your buddy who never goes to church, and he realizes he needs the Holy Spirit. Don't you go and find the pastor to go and pray. Why not you pray? The most significant apostle amongst the 12 was not the guy, I have to be careful here, I don't mean to put value on them, but the one who became the most prominent in terms of his labor was not the guy that the 11 chose, well, somebody, we've got to choose somebody to take Judas's place. We'll let the Lord choose a lot, and they chose Matthias over Barsabbas, Joseph Barsabbas. Okay? Now, they all went and served the Lord. I mean, this guy who was not chosen in that regard, he ended up becoming a bishop of a different city, and he served the Lord, and he was martyred. Okay, so it's not like, oh well, his life is gone. No, these all served the Lord. But we don't hear that much about Matthias, but we hear an awful lot about Paul. We hear an awful lot about Paul. Right? Who prayed for Paul to receive the Spirit and to have the eyes, the scale on his eyes covered. Some guy that we never hear of again. Ananias. It's almost like the entire purpose. Well, no, it was not that, but it almost can be presented as this was the point. Ananias, you got something to do. And Ananias got to have an adventure with God. Like, why am I going to do this? This is the guy who's going to, like, kill us. And you encounter what God is like there, and then you go and do it. And as a result, the world has changed. So why not you? Why not you? Okay, I'll leave you with that, and we'll look forward to our time together again. Father, again, I ask that you would pursue us with these things, me first and foremost. You have opened us up to an ocean of possibilities, and I ask that you would help us not just to be caught up with just little shells on the seashore. That you would open us up to the fullness of what it means to be temples of the Holy Spirit, to move in your power, to take the authority granted to us, and to respond to you. I ask you to pursue us with these things, Father, that we are useful in these days in your hands, and that you would be delighted over what we are responding to and what comes forth from our responding. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.